Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
Back. It has been like 4 months, but I am still the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and it's an absolute honor to welcome my buddy, my pal, my brother from another mother, Jose Santiago Jr.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good, how are you?
Oh, man, good. Just sitting home relaxing at the ranch, enjoying my birthday, trying to go down in years instead of up in years.
Right. It seems like we're all trying to do that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way, I guess. You know, we can't turn back the clock ahead of time.
So I wanted to ask you about being a former executive chef. That had to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Actually, I was an executive chef for 14 years prior to leaving that and jumping into other jobs. Steel worker, railroad, and finally just not caring to do any one of those two. I mean, that wasn't the life for me. The life for me was to be in the public eye, be a public figure, and give back to the community. I couldn't do that working at a mill or at a railroad when I was never home.
Yeah, that's true. You can't branch out to your fullest and see all these different cool characters if you're working at the railroad.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it is. It's kind of hard. Well, at the mill, I was doing 7 days a week, 12-hour days. I only had 2 days off a month, which was really affecting my auditioning and my actual screen time on set whenever I was on Chicago Fire when I started. And I had to make a decision if I was going to keep my $120,000 a year job at the mill or was I going to continue and pursue my acting. So I walked out of the mill.
That was probably your best thing to do in that situation.
Yeah, it was, man. It was. I saw a bunch of coworkers in the 4 years I was there. I saw a bunch of them pass away with 35, 45 years. Guys just didn't know when to pull the pin and enjoy life, you know?
That's unfortunate. And it seems it's really bad now with the opioids and stuff. It's really horrible.
It's horrible, man. It's really bad out there, you know? And, you know, like I tell everybody, I have a story, and it's going to be told. You know, I didn't come from all the glam and glory, or I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, I came from East Chicago, Indiana, and I ended up running the streets, you know, from addiction to abuse and alcohol and drugs. And, I mean, it's just, it's a true story, you know, and if my story could help inspire people to do the right thing. And that's all I'm asking for. I can't change the world or what the world thinks of me, but if I can change one person's life at a time, then I think I'm doing my job.
Right. I agree. You're really awesome. great guy or a great actor, and I think it's great the roles you've gotten such far so far.
Yeah, it's been one hell of a ride, man. I'm enjoying every minute of it. You know, I just was in L.A. for 3 weeks back in February, and I was cast in it's going to be a short horror film, but I think they're actually going to make it a feature film. It's called Joanna, and I play one of the lead characters in this movie. We're not allowed to speak about it yet, but it has to do with a doll. That's all I can say on that one.
Oh, those are always good movies.
Yeah, the horror movies sell, man. And I also got cast on a action movie called The Ride. It's actually the same producer of Joanna. And that one's going to have some pretty big names attached to it. We're just waiting on all the NDAs and letters of intent, which they were just received mine from my manager and my agent. And now they're waiting to hear from the three big name stars, which will put all of us on the set together on basically every scene.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be a nice boost there. That'll be a nice resume adder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, those non-disclosures are hell. But you got to keep certain things under wraps. You don't want anything getting out. The stuff changes on the fly.
Absolutely. How are things with you, man? How's everything going with Cloverleaf?
Well, this is the first show I've done in 4 months, since right before Christmas. I just took some time off, just been taking it easy, working the day job.
I got you, man. Well, hey, I'm glad and I'm honored that you got me as the first guest of the new year.
Yeah, it's a little later than like the beginning of the year, but I guess we're still kind of in the beginning of the year. Somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the second quarter, but the first quarter just blew right past us.
That's fine with me. I'm not a fan of the winter.
Yeah, not at all. That's why I left the LA for 3 weeks. But 3 weeks I was out there, it just rained, and it was miserable. Mudslides and all kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, jeez.
But it beat being out here with 50 below zero. So, I mean, I'm not going to complain.
Right. Yeah, this winter was really crappy.
Yeah, it was bad. And what my wife was telling me, it was really bad.
Now, when you're not acting, you are doing some good old construction, making things, those hands. And what compelled you to create your own company and to go into this field? Because that alone, just having your own company, has to be really challenging.
It is. It's a challenge every day. Every day I wake up. I'm grateful and I'm blessed to have the opportunity. But it took some convincing from my wife and friends. Like, man, dude, you do some awesome work. You need to open your own business. You need to open your own business. And then realizing that I can't go to work for somebody, punch a 9-to-5, and continue my acting. The only way I will be able to continue doing what I do and what I love doing is acting, is to open my own business and be my own boss. So it was a decision of whether should I go back to the kitchen and become a chef. But I already know what happens then. I'm in the kitchen 7 days a week, 13, 14-hour days. I'm a slave to the kitchen again, and I didn't want that. So what else did I want to do that I could do? And I've always done building and trades and construction and unions. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to open up my own construction business. And I thought for sure, everybody says the first year is the worst because you don't get to do much work. As soon as I put out there that I opened my construction business, I worked from last July all the way till January, till I left to Los Angeles the next day. I didn't have no time off.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and now the year just started, and I was looking forward to at least another week or two of nothing, but I've been working on a house, and I've got multiple decks scheduled for this month, multiple decks and sheds scheduled for next month, another house flip remodel for June, which is going to take me 3 weeks. And after that one, I go right into another house remodel. So, I mean, this July, it's just going to be very busy. But I am also, like I said, I'm grateful and I'm blessed to have that kind of problem. You know what I'm saying? And I can get up and go whenever my agent says, hey, I need you in L.A. for an audition. I can just get on a red-eye flight and head out and be in L.A. by tomorrow morning and make my audition and then get back home. that's the benefit of having my own business, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for all my clientele as well. I have some of the best clients.
Nice. Yeah, I don't see you going to the boss on a 9-to-5. Yeah, I got to go out to an audition. See you in, I don't know, a few days.
Yeah, see you in a week or something. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, I was trying to do that with the mill, and they said, well, you either pick your career or your hobby. And I told the mill, the mill is my hobby, and I walked out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was the ultimatum they gave me. I don't like ultimatums, especially when it's coming from somebody who thinks they own you. We are all individuals. You know, we are all of different races, but we're all the same race, the human race. You don't treat somebody like they're a slave or a robot and you're in control, because you're not. You know, just as quick as you think you have the control can be taken away from you.
Right. Karma.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's why I did it, and I opened up the business, and it's been booming since. And I'm just honored and humbled, and I'm blessed to have it, man. And then to have people like you guys supporting me, Cloverleaf, Dark History, Brian Ward. I mean, all you guys, man. You guys have shown me nothing but love, and you guys have been great to me, man. And I truly, truly appreciate that. You know what I mean? Every little bit helps, and I just try to get the message out there to do the right thing. Do what you love. Love what you do. And never let someone tell you you can't, you know, because I don't think people are called Americans. People are called Americans. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at every race, none of them are called can't, except for Cantonese, but that's a language. But, you know, you got American, you got Puerto Rican, Mexican, you know, all African. I mean, everybody's a can. Nobody's a can't. Nobody's a can't. So why do we say we can't do this, we can't do that, when it's not even in our titles? It just shouldn't be, you know. So I believe that we can do whatever we want as long as you're doing it the right way and you're going about it the right way. The doors will open as long as you're doing good by everybody else.
Now, see, if you hadn't been an actor, you could have been a motivational speaker.
Well, I'm also doing that, too, along with our buddy, and he's Eric Berner, and he's got the Limitless Productions, and he's got some speakers on board. I'm actually one of the speakers.
Nice.
So we're going to be doing a bunch of shows this year at different venues, speaking to children, to colleges, to executives, giving people the background, the layout of, If you want to motivate your people, your employees, your students, your staff, your family, just listen. You know, just listen and think about what I'm going to say, because I'm saying it because I've lived it. And I've learned by listening to other people speaking to me, motivating me to get off my butt and create the things that I have created. I created a great family, a beautiful house, a wonderful property, a wonderful career as a business owner, and an amazing career as an actor. And I'm doing all that because someone motivated me to do it. Someone told me not to give up, ever, no matter how much how hard it gets or how much they laugh at you. Never give up. And no one's laughing anymore. I mean, you still have the haters and the laugh, people laughing, but guess what? At the end of the day, I go home happy, and I like what I see in the mirror.
That's awesome. That's a great way to look at bullies.
Oh, yeah.
But going into some of your other stuff, what's that here? Oh, you've been called the Latino Pacino. That's pretty big shoes.
Yeah. Those are some pretty big shoes to fill, man. I know somebody mentioned that years ago when I came out in acting as Chicago Fire and then the TV series No Chirac. Somebody said that I had that look, that attitude, and that charisma of Al Pacino. And then somebody took it and ran with it and wrote, this is the new up-and-coming Latino Al Pacino or something. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I said, I hope Al doesn't get a word of that, because then he might not be so happy with me. But, hey, you know, I mean, like I said, he's one of my heroes, man, on TV, along with many others, De Niro and a lot of the Goodfellas guys, you know. But, if I could live a comfortable life like Al and be just as good, or if not better actor than Al, then I think I did my justice, you know, to the name.
Very cool. And, of course, working on Chicago PD and Chicago Fire, the I don't think a lot of people think about Chicago as kind of a place for filming, but there seems to be quite a bit of projects going on up there.
There are tons of shows. You got Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Met. All three are filmed all in Chicago, 100%. Nothing's filmed outside of the city. And then you have all these new Netflix series, Redline. I mean, there's so many I can't even name. I mean, there's a whole slew of them that I can't even name. There's like maybe, I think there's about 9 or 10 projects after Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med that are in Chicago right now filming. Movies and Netflix series, Amazon Studio series. I mean, there's just a whole slew of them.
That's really awesome because Chicago is a great city and there's so many epic landmarks and things to film around it. I think it should be a no-brainer.
Oh yeah, no, it's a beautiful city. I mean, I love the city. They got great landmarks. They got great history. The background is beautiful. I mean, for a setting. So, I wish they would bring more Hollywood budget movies here. But the ones that are coming here, they're big Hollywood. I mean, they did Skyscraper here. You know, they did the Rampage. It's been a hub, but they're trying to make Chicago more of a satellite. And not the hub. They want it to be like the mothership, you know. Right now, it's a hub for the actors to come in and out of, but they want to give them a home, you know. So they're going to probably be building some more studio lots here shortly, the next couple of years, over at CineSpace. And I'm just looking forward to just a very fruitful career.
And of course, you have been acting for a while now. What would you say has been maybe your best role in your mind to date?
The best role, I think, is the role of Diablo on the TV series No Chirac, which is on Tubi TV, that Tubi TV, and there's a full season. There's 12 episodes. And then there's the Independent Network, which is INDE. And that's the name of the app, INDE, and that's the Indie Network, and it's on there. It's one of its independent original TV series, and that full season's on there as well, 12 episodes. But I would have to say Diablo was quite a character to play because it wasn't very far-fetched from like, the real life that I used to live.
Wow. You probably never thought you'd be going back there in a sense.
Yeah, I never did. I thought once I left that life behind me, it was behind me. And then I get auditioned just for a quick speaking role, just so they can hear me. And then I get an offer to play this character, and I have to send an NDA, and then they give me a script. And it's about a Latin drug dealer. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. I thought I left this crap behind me. But, hey, it happens, and I'm glad I did it. I was honored to do it and bring this character to life the way I did. I mean, everybody says that character on the show stole the show. By far, was the best actor on that set.
Wow,
and,
that's one accolade.
That was nice. That was a great accolade, and I thank them for that. You know, I did bring it to life. I mean, I brought it 150%. And if it didn't feel right, I would tell the director and the writer that's not right. That's not how it would be done. And I would show them how it was done, and then they would go with that.
Do you ever feel like typecast in certain roles after, doing this craft for so long?
Yeah, I mean, it does get typecasted, but if you allow it, and then you'll stay typecasted. If you stand up and start to reject the same constant roles that you're constantly being casted for or stereotyped for, once you make a stand, you're going to get a little bit of drawback, you know. But at the end, it'll come back, and then you can start redoing what you want to do, doing the roles that make you feel good about yourself and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could do anything. It just seems like sometimes Hollywood wants to keep you in this certain bracket of tattooed gang member and drug dealer.
Yeah, gang member, drug dealer, cartel guy, gardener, whatever, you know.
Gardener.
Yeah, that's how they see it, you know, but there's a lot of Latino actors out there that are really, really good, and they're starting to open up the doors for us. I mean, the writers and producers are becoming Latino, more and more Latino-based, and they're, they're getting, you know, people from Cuba and Guatemala and everywhere, Argentina, and these are writers and producers, and they're bringing in Latinos as the leads of shows without always being the bad guys. And I like that. It's actually starting to change, and it's a really nice change.
Oh, I'm sure that's really great that's happening.
Yeah, well, it's great, man. I can't wait to share more with you guys later on this year, like around right after the 4th of July when I find everything out. It's going to be real cool. It's going to be an advertising and a marketing, a slew of that coming out for the projects that I got coming out this year.
Well, as far as the future goes, you mentioned a couple of projects you got going. I know Salem Toy and Fat, as well as anything else you got coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be doing the Salem Comics. I am also going to be doing the Dark History Con again, or unless they change. I think they changed the name, didn't they? Mental Ward, something like that? Or is it still Dark History?
I think it's still Dark History.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll be doing that one as well this year. And then next year we have the Fright Fest, which will be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in 2020. So we're looking forward. That's going to be a huge one. That one's going to be huge. There's tons of talent coming to this one.
That's awesome. I love conventions.
Oh yeah, it's going to be nice, man. It's going to be nice. Bring out the station and come out and do your thing, do some interviews, brother. I'd like to talk to you again.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be seeing you again. And happy birthday. I hope everything's been well.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much. You guys, your love means a lot to me. You guys, you know, your love and support, it's always good.
Oh, it's no problem. If anybody wants to, like, contact you, where can they find Jose Santiago Jr.?
They can find me on Facebook at Actor Jose Santiago Jr. on Facebook. And on Instagram and Twitter, it's @JSantiago. And I also just started a YouTube channel, which is Jose A. Santiago Jr. at YouTube.com.
Oh, it's going down.
Yep, it's going down. We're gonna open up all the doors, man. Pretty soon, that's all you're going to see is my face everywhere. And then I'll probably just fade out into the sunset.
Well, let's hope that you do really awesome. I have the best of faith in you, brother.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much again, Ian. Cloverleaf, you guys are amazing. You guys, if you guys ain't listening to this guy, tune in, listen to this guy. He knows what he's doing. And this guy, he's a great supporter and a great follower and a great friend. Ian, thank you for your time, man.
Thank you so much, my man, and best of luck and enjoy the birthday.
All right, brother. You have a good one. Thank you. Take care. God bless.
Yep, God bless you. Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, everybody. Well, I'm not quite sure when the next show is going to be because this one was kind of, I guess it really wasn't spur of the moment. I had it scheduled 10 days ago or so, but I'm just lazy. I thought the plans together. But tune to my Facebook page and, of course, support Jose Santiago Jr. And get on board. Got some great stuff coming up. And we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you to Jose and for everybody for listening. Have a great night.